I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffy, joining me always, Christopher William Glasson. Hello.
All right, mate, I'm sweating my balls off.
It's really warm in here, isn't it?
Very warm.
Pop your trousers off.
Easily the hottest podcast I've ever done.
Yeah, it's like I'm hot liking yoga.
I'm liking it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. maybe that'll end in Bikram Yoga with all of us, eh, in a minute.
Absolutely. Well, this one's been a long time coming, and we'll introduce the guest shortly. Let's thank our sponsors first.
Oh, yes. Who do you want to start with?
There's no point starting with these cunts. We might as well talk about...
Renshi Simon James, yes. Southern Martial Arts.
Yeah.
You had a little chat with him the other day, didn't you?
I did, yeah. He was telling me about all of his plans and how good things are going, which is good. And if you're interested in learning martial arts, hit up Sai, Southern Martial Arts. He's tagged in all our posts. So give him a little follow and drop him a message. And you can learn how to look after yourself. And you can also learn if you're interested to be an instructor. So find out all about that at Southern Martial Arts. And there's no point in talking about our next sponsors. We might as well get them to
I'd like to hear their own pitch.
I'm kind of interested.
Hang on. I introduced you yet.
Okay.
Sound professional.
This is just. I knew it was going to go like this. So we're joined today by the Say What Podcasters, proud sponsors or duty band sponsors of Hardcore Listing, Notorious FAWT and Big Papa J. All right.
Hello, mate.
Cheers, mate. Thanks very much for that intro, which you kept at the exact same note the entire way through from start to finish, which I quite enjoyed.
I'd like to ask Simon
whether or not, do you think he's ever chopped a block of concrete in half? Because I know that was a thing in the 80s, wasn't it?
I remember when I was like doing karate that like I used to.
He asked you about Simon, you narcissist, didn't he? And you went straight to about yourself.
I know, but like he could do the proper stuff. But I remember like getting like bits of wood from like my dad's garage and putting them on like a couple of bricks and trying to chop it first and then trying to punch it.
Yeah.
But I would have been about 11.
How'd you get on?
The thin bits of wood, yeah. Other bits, no, it didn't really work out. But I won a black belt. How did you deal with it?
I didn't start with wood, mate. Yeah, no.
Straight to metal.
It was ice like Karate Kid and then straight onto iron bars.
Tungsten.
Yeah.
Did you ever do the fake trick?
He always carried a bar of tungsten with him everywhere he went.
Did you ever break the wood in half, sort of semi, so don't fully snap it, push it back and then make it?
I used to have a little sort of speaker and I used to get the tone right and I used to be able to weaken the material before I chopped it.
Decibels.
Yeah, decibel. You got to get the right decibel.
Well, no, your karate name as well.
Yeah, that was... Well, at first, I found out someone older had it to me, so they called me Decibel Junior.
Fair enough.
Did any of you ever try and rip a fucking Yellow Pages?
I used to how it should be used by looking for fucking decent things like TV repairmen.
Yeah.
Wasn't that disrespectful, Yellow Pages?
We used to get the phone book and go through it and find novelty names.
Yeah,
and phone them up. Yeah. And just go, Mr. Duck. Yeah, I'll fuck my life with talking duck and in panic and put the phone down.
We found out a blind company called Casey's Blind used to be at Libby Hall years ago, and we just said, when did Casey go blind, right? It's not funny, but at the time we were fucking cracking up. Yeah.
That still is quite funny.
We found up a leaking and went, excuse me, are you leaking? I went, yeah. We went, call the plumber.
Oh, I love that shit, man. Yeah, Yellow Pages. What else could we do? Something else that made you hard in the 80s or 90s was if you had a BMX, you had to make your own ramp.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So and someone had to go the other side of it, Evel Knievel was going over. Yeah. What did you make the ramp out of, though?
Yeah, plywood, two bricks.
That is literally Wikipedia, how to make a ramp.
So you should have paid yourself a question, actually.
Tony made his own one out of bitumen. It was great in the winter, but in the summer, mate, that thing had a U-bend in the middle, didn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Lord, it needs to be sturdy, mate, I tell you.
Yeah, no, you're right, mate.
But then you used to double up the bricks to see how high you could actually go up, you know what I mean? Start for one brick, then two, then three, and then...
Why was the always bricks lying around there? You went in the woods, you always find a brick. Yeah. No one's house is falling apart.
No one goes in woods anymore.
No.
In the 80s, you went in woods, A, to either... like get freaked out by strangers,
or find a wank mag,
exactly.
Or a well, some would go like, "There's a well over there. Don't go in there, mate. You fall down that shit." Yeah. Or some would have made a tree swing.
Oh, Tarzan.
Like a tree swing. You'd always be across a ditch. Always be across like a valley or something like that.
There was one over the rookery near me, and we just call it the Tarzy, which we'd abbreviate from Tarzan swing. And it was like, I'll meet you over the Tarzy. And you go over there, and there'd be like an old tyre on a bit of old blue rope.
One of those PG monkeys, PG tip monkeys, just going
to come back having a field day.
Well, look, we're not doing your podcast today.
Oh shit!
You're doing our podcast, this is your opportunity to fucking. This is Dragon's Den. This is fellas.
We're peeking behind the curtains.
Yeah. I think Justin's actually got a jingle for the intro as well, haven't you, Justin? Did you make up another jingle?
No.
Have you done another?
I do like a jingle. You've heard. You've all. You know, it's so brilliant, right? We've done a jingle recently called it's a round called Small Cock Big Cock, and I just try and pick three celebrities off the cuff. What is the hardest thing, right? Is there 7 billion people on this planet? Trying to think of three people when you're pissed is really hard.
Yeah,
and like so you pick three random people out, and then basically just think you go to Prickopedia to see whether or not they've actually got small knobs or big knobs, and that is it. But he has to guess, and I have to give him the real information.
And Prickopedia is an actual thing.
Yeah.
Bassins. Yeah.
Yeah, you Google it.
We've got a similar game on the 80s podcast. We've got Mike Reed's knob quiz.
His gruff voice talking about knobs would be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Not that Mike Reed, you cunt.
What?
Mike Reed, the radio guy.
Not a volume coming back to EastEnders.
I did too, just.
Well, so tell us about Say What podcast. For those that have never listened.
What do you want us to say?
Well, tell us what it's about. Right.
It's a political debate. There's a lot MP of people
out there might be struggling. I'd say have a little listen to that. If you don't laugh, then maybe it is time to go.
Yeah. It's the unfunniest podcast known to mankind, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So if you ain't got a sense of humour, it's probably
could be. Imagine a podcast that has so much research that the research depends on how early we get to the pub that night. We think of some things, normally something to do with celebrity. Basically, if you want to hear about what celebrities would fuck or which robots would fuck, tune it to the podcast.
The important stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of jingles
real
on
stuff,
there.
You know, the stuff that matters.
Yeah.
Mm. Have you been mentioned on Jingle yet?
No, not once.
That's unbelievable.
The funny thing about his latest jingle about big cock, small cock, how he announced it. He goes, we've got a new round big cock, small cock. He's done the jingle, but called it big knob, small knob. So he's even got the wording wrong on the jingle for how we call the round.
I actually went to a studio host to sing that, right? And then, I've come back and introduced it as big. I actually wanted it to be big cock, small cock as well, and it wasn't. I said big knob, small knob because I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
At the time, I just wanted to get the recording session over and done with.
See, you went into
it. It was Abbey Road, mate.
Yeah.
Thought of Trevor Horn just sitting there at the desk while you're going.
So where's your studio then?
My mate's got a garden.
So you're not paying for time to record big
knob,
small
knob. It's like the TARDIS. Yeah. You go in there, but it's even smaller from the outside. It's like the reverse TARDIS. It's like a fucking a garden house, but you go in there and it literally is like a phone box when you get in there.
It's amazing.
What's incredible is like the two times I've been on your podcast. First time I come on, you weren't well toned. No. But the second time, as the procedure is with you boys, is you go to Chalvin and All, which is like the weirdest pub. It's like a cross between. It's the only place I've ever seen a hybrid of a pub and a social club.
It's so true.
It's an incredible.
And where people sign on to the DSS as well, it's just fucking ridiculous.
But you both turn up like fucking Del Boy with Filofaxes, with your little fucking notebooks, and sit there just drinking lager with some pretense that you're going to fucking.
Create magic.
And like fuck knows what notes you had last time, but I don't think you referenced them once. No. All I remember you referencing was like, What'd I say? Hang on, pause it. We'll start again.
Well, I'm a genius. I've only just realised this is the first podcast that I've done that I feel mildly professional, right? Do you know what I mean? And we've actually got the lights turned up. Normally we have it completely pitch black in here. We work by firelight. That's a great thing.
I think, as you mentioned before, he writes his notes in green biro, but then he puts the lighting in here, the neo lights you can see around us, in green. So literally, he can't read the writing that he's just written in green biro. It's absolutely ridiculous. There's no structure to it whatsoever.
It's almost like writing invisible ink.
Yeah.
That was something special, wasn't it?
Cool, wasn't it?
Was it essentially a pen that didn't work?
I wrote a love letter in invisible ink once.
Did it work?
No!
What was his name?
Yeah, no, the Outback Steakhouse. Shout out to Sarah Draycott.
Oh, really?
I was crushing on Sarah.
Bent.
No, she wasn't.
Did you write a napkin as well?
I did.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh,
that'd be great.
Right on a bit of Bazard and Bond A4 paper at home.
Fucking hell. How much was that? It was about £1.70 a pack back then. Yeah. That was a lot of money.
Set me right, mate. I'll tell you, definitely.
For people who don't know, Bazard and Bond, right? And I don't know.
Sorry, that's Russ Abbott.
What?
Bazard and Bond was Russ Abbott's character
no,
for James
no,
Bond.
Yeah, it was. Oh, does Stu not know this?
Bazard and Bond.
Yeah. Have you not heard of Bazard and Bond?
I remember Russ Abbott.
Right, no. So if you went over the corner shop, right, and you could buy, like, envelopes and stuff like that, because, you know, we didn't have a post office near us, and I don't know what...
Because I should say, all use three. Did you grow up around here as well?
Yeah, Pitsy.
So
yeah.
Use three have all grown up in the same area.
But if you wanted to buy some expensive paper to write... Say for Christmas you've got a fountain pen.
Yeah.
Right? You'd have to, the most expensive paper you could buy was Bazard and Bond. Yeah.
Oh.
And it had the word Bazard and Bond written across it. And I actually remember people going,
actually on the paper,
wasn't
it?
It's actually on the paper. It weren't like sort of like a hologram in the background. It's literally written across the bottom, isn't it? Like a receipt from a hotel.
They left you 1 inch at the bottom just to write on, basically.
Yeah, got it branded on a plain sheet of paper. Yeah, it's great.
So you should come on and do a top five. What's your top five today?
Well, this is something that I come up with. we haven't got no good ideas for our podcast, so we thought we'd come up with a good one for yours. But the top five this week is top five... What is it?
Contemporary shows, isn't it?
No, it's not contemporary shows.
Is it not?
Was it ideas?
This is
why our podcast doesn't
work. You wrote down in your book, though.
Ideas for films?
Go for the WhatsApp group.
Better not be.
Film concepts,
we're
right?
Fucked.
No?
Yeah. Film concepts, right?
Or TV show. TV show concepts.
TV show concepts.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Which I thought... If I give myself more than 45 minutes down the pub to think about it, I'll kind of come up with some really good
ideas. I bet you'd have smashed it out of the pub, but it sounds like you went down the pub and got...
Well, what we've done was we cheated, right? So what we're thinking is you have to come up with your own concept for a TV show, which obviously is a bit of mileage and you can make some jokes up, blah, blah, blah. But then I realise it's easier just to actually find rhyming things.
Yeah.
Do you know? It's so much easier than just change it over.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got a few scribbled down. Yep. I think that'd probably be enough.
So you'll throw out a few, like, rhyming names, catchy rhyming names for shows, and then maybe between us all we'll fill in the blanks.
We'll think of the name, you do the artwork. Yeah.
Well, just so everyone knows what, Justin changed that halfway through our pub visit where he then sprung it on me. So my four questions are not actually rhyming ones at all. They're concepts of TV shows.
No, you've actually done... You've
I've done a lot of research.
Tony's actually brought it to the table.
We can just all talk. So,
if this is a two-parter, it's a two-parter.
Yeah.
There's no rush.
Yeah.
Go on then. Fire one of your TV shows.
Is this also... Also, how are we doing this? Right. Have you both got a five you're going to try and do? I mean, which is fine, because we can do it in the two-parter.
How about you, Sulot, from Netflix? We're there pitching a TV show to you guys. You're like Netflix directors, officials, and we're trying to get a new show started and, you know what I mean, paid for. So
love it.
You give us your views.
If I was a Netflix producer, it would just involve me.
You chip in and say, actually, no, maybe if you went like that, Big Puppet, you know what I mean, the choice of...
Well, I want to start off with some sensible ones.
All right, so let's say that we're Dragon's Dennis, right? So I'll be Waterman, and you'll be Taylor.
Yeah. I love that.
So we're sitting there.
There he is with a pun immediately. He's already got a TV show pun in there.
I've already got
I didn't realise we was pitching for business, because now I think if anyone listens to this, basically, and copies the idea, we're now fucked.
You're feeling the pressure now, like. I can see you sweating now. I feel like you'll give a pitch. I'm fucking nervous, mate.
My heart's going
just
like,
use your business skills, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I will do, mate.
No, I'll tell you what, Tony, you start with one of your proper ones.
Right, so the proper one I've gone with was The TV show is going to be called Indoor Bowls with Chris Eubank. Right. Yeah. And straight away, when people hear that, they're thinking of indoor bowling. You know what I mean? The game where you chuck the jack down or whatever, but it's not. Literally, Chris Eubank and a bowl...
like a bowl expert.
Like China bowl expert, yeah. Go around to random homes.
Some sort of antiquity expert, yeah.
Yeah, and these people don't know that he's knocking at the door. It's a bit like a postcode lottery.
Right.
So, Eubank's knocking at your door. Yeah. Like a thing tune like that or whatever.
Like that.
So he knocks on the door, and obviously with his list...
Cane coming down.
Yeah, oh God, yeah. And he's got a weird, like... Yeah, it's going to be, yes, can't you? Come on, come in, check out what board you got.
Norrie's pulled up outside.
Yeah. Yeah. He sort of like barges his way through, and then basically him and the expert go through the bowls in the people's cabinets, yeah, and identify any sort of rare or unusual bowls.
Mm.
So the concept is, I think most people have got, rather than just a set of IKEA bowls, there's always that odd bowl that you'd have for ramen noodles or your cereal, whatever. And he basically just judges it and grades it.
I love this concept because you mentioned earlier on. I thought to myself, imagine Chris, you're having a fucking a lazy afternoon, right?
You're thinking, Jimmy, do you know what?
I can't be like your mum and dad or your kids said, "Oh, let's come around the afternoon." Like, no, we're out for the afternoon. You want that peace and quiet?
Oh, yeah. one of those days.
All of a sudden, Chris Eubanks is knocking, right?
Yeah.
Chris Eubanks is knocking, right? And
TV camera behind it.
Oh, I love this. And he comes in. He's overexcited. Yeah. And he comes in and he's like, he says, "Right, what bowls? You lay your bowls out."
Yeah.
And what's so great about it is
this lispy impression of Chris Eubanks.
But can you imagine, right? Can you imagine someone coming in your house on a Sunday afternoon valuing all your bowls in your kitchen, right? And then if he feels like a bowl is even not worthy of the house, so what does he do every time?
He just gets his punching glove on, just smacks the fuck out of it.
So Eubanks basically smashes a bowl.
Some of Nan's China bowl that we inherited,
Well, no,
but if he likes it, though, he gives you a good grade.
Here's what happens. The valuer inside the house, he basically...
The bowl's got to be worth over £100.
Actually, this is really unusual. Where did you get this from? And you say something like, "We was handed down from my nan's mum," and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden he goes, "I'll give you £175 for that bowl." What else is offering you the money, Chris? He's smashing your cunt and the other bowls out there.
Also, as well, you could be sitting on a fucking money pot. It could be a Ming bowl that you don't even know you've got. So it's like a 50-50 win, isn't it, really?
Would there be like a sort of procedure as well where he's got like a briefcase and in it he's got like a can of soup, some crisps, a box of cereal, and he's just kind of chesting the bowls for compatibility as well?
Microwave ability as well,
absolutely, yeah.
Does he ever get a valuation wrong?
Well, that's why he hires a best in.
Yeah.
I think
use the yellow pages to find out bowl experts. And there's quite a few out there in the area.
Local
bowl experts.
No, he's got this guy and he's paid big dollar for him, to be honest. And he turns up and he goes, I'll give you £175 this bowl.
£175.
Yeah. And
gives him the options, though. Either take the cash or put it on eBay.
I mean, there's a lot of tragedies out there, but there's none more tragic, right, than someone have a really valuable bowl in their house and never knowing to their grave that it's worth a lot of money.
Or the spin is someone thinks they've got a really valuable bowl, but then Chris Eubank just fucking gives it an uppercut. Just fucking lugs it into the fucking air, and comes down smashed.
And if it's a fake, he does a reverse backspin.
Yeah.
Not like a punch.
One or two.
This is like the idea of discovering that bit of antiquity in your house is that the Del Boy, that's how they got rich, wasn't it, with the watch.
Yeah, it's pure antiques roadshow as well, isn't it?
Mate, I was like, you know, I could wait to sell my mum and dad's house. I was getting rid of all their stuff, and then mum had like this prized Welsh dresser with all her china that you couldn't, it was like fucking the art, right? You couldn't touch it. There was like spear traps and everything if you tried to go near the china. But like, obviously when I went to sell it, I thought, well, got to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
None of it was worth anything. I could not sell it, mate. There's nothing. So Eubank is going to be smashing plates.
He round your house, he'd give you that disappointment before you'd have thought about selling it. That's the thing.
And that's the thing. You know, like some of those cups and plates have that like sort of fine crack in it, and you think that'd be a fine for another couple of goes. He will not have that.
No.
He'll smash the fuck out of it.
He won't take no for an answer.
Why would he?
No. Have we got an episode?
I think, and I think,
by the way, you guys are the judges now. We just pitched it, so you've now got to say, is it a goer, or we'll put a million behind it, see what happens.
Because have you all got like a bowl in your ass? So I've still got bowls.
Is that
like,
how they should have started the pitch?
Like, yeah.
And you guys got any bowls in the house?
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
You guys got a bowl indoors?
I've got a PDF PowerPoint presentation as well. Should have bought it out as well.
Yeah.
Why'd you use PDF?
Looks fancy.
No, I should have kept it in the original format. We could have edited it better then.
We got Acrobat.
That's a very nice joke that I really enjoyed, Jeff. Thank you for that.
Cheers, mate.
I derailed you there, Stu. Sorry, you was going to make a point about...
I can't remember what I was going to say.
Nah.
balls are Chris Eubank.
I thought I was going to, basically as a producer, just get you guys to suck my dick and I'll put a finger in you and then I'll commission it. But, Tony, I've got to say, cracking idea.
Thank you. You can still finger my arse if you want.
Again.
Yeah. This is how each round's going. I've got 50 of them.
It'll fly you over. Yeah. It could make Los Angeles. Yeah. He didn't have both his jabs, but he will fly you over if he can poke a finger up his arse.
Did you ever do, like, fucking, when you go to, like, a fucking school fete or something like that when you were growing up, and they'd have them, like, crockery, what are they called, where you just throw...
Like a coconut shot. Not a coconut shot, was it? But, yeah, you should have done
like a fucking playground. Yeah. Balls, and you just smash it up.
China Smash.
You've just made that. Look at your China. Fucking face lying out of
China
you.
China Smash, it's got to be.
Yeah, it's definitely the China Smash, wasn't it?
And also...
Yeah, it was great.
To be fair, people could have got rid of their old plates and crockery. So.
What's annoying is, imagine if he turns up and, like, you know that you're sitting on a couple of really decent mugs.
Yeah.
Well, you think you are.
Yeah, but you ain't going to know because he ain't touching them, right?
No, well, no, that's what the expert's for. You know, following the picture. He's got cut. Let's start the picture game. Old mate's not into it.
What if you got cut the fucking old plates with Lady Diana on it?
That's a 2-year spin-off. We go, right. You know what I mean? Like, you're Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. This is going to lead into...
How would you open that pitch then, guys? Feedback.
I mean, we said when we started writing this script that the whole show, there should be a certain level of transparency about it.
Yeah.
And I think if you do have bowls that you're not showing him, then the programme ain't going to work.
No.
But if you've got bowls up in the loft and you think, you know, I don't want people to put Cheetos in those. What else you can put in bowls?
Cereal.
Cheese.
Peanuts.
Yeah.
Cup of milk for a hedgehog.
Yeah. Oranges.
I said a couple of them. Yeah. So there we go. Have we got a deal?
I'm sold.
There we go.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
The thought of fucking just kicking back fucking on a Sunday afternoon and Eubank turns up.
Oh.
Like, just fucking coming in, just rooting through my cupboards. I'm all over it.
Yeah. It's a great picture.
You wouldn't be, though. Not everyone. I wouldn't be. And that's what makes it great.
Oh, yeah. Chris has got an expensive bowl.
Not that, mate. It's just under Justin's premise, everyone's left the house. I know I've got 3 hours free. Obviously, I'm going to get that wank out of the way.
Yeah.
And then Eubank's there. And it'll be me just, like, trying to direct him towards bowls and, like clear away the Kleenex tissues and stuff like that. Yeah, no, him rating my bowls, my nan's crockery, it would have been devastating.
How would he rate your wankler?
Had he been what?
He's a perfectionist.
He's for the window. You don't know. He's looking around. Is anyone in? And he catches you down.
He's
on your sofa.
Bastard.
Yeah. He was. You've been walking up a path with the best bowl ever. Bowling.
Yeah. But his bowl every episode changes.
Yeah.
And that's how you know if it's episode 1 to 5. Yes. No, if he came up to the door and then peered through the window and had a cheeky look, and I'm mid wank. I'm a flamboyant masturbator. I just want to hold all your eye contact.
Yeah. It makes you work harder, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah.
Perfectionist.
I mean, I'm glad you've got inspiration there, mate. But for me, I can just do it straight off the top of the dome.
The problem with Chris does, he actually wanks into his favourite bowl as well, which is a bit of a crazy one.
That's just icing.
I love icing.
Fondant icing. Right, have we got the fucking net?
Yes. How much is Arnold's for?
Option for second series, though, with, what was it, mugs?
Mugs.
We're optioning in that. Yeah.
It's endless. It's endless.
You know, by episode 3, if Eubank's laid someone out, we're going to can it, mate.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to, Right, okay, well.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too.
Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Justin, what you got for us?
You've got to top that out, Big Papa Fresh.
But I'm trying to think what's going to work at this period of the evening.
And are you looking through notes you haven't made?
Yeah. Basically, I'm
stalling. Is it with that invisible ink I was using?
I'm stalling for time. right, so I've gone for... there's a couple of weird ones. I'm going to go for the most sensible one, Dan.
Yes.
Which is quite similar to what we just said, actually. But it's called WWE Stenders, right? So it's basically, it's EastEnders, like a soap opera, but with all American old school, live or dead.
Before it became WWE. Is it WWE now?
Yeah.
No, good.
Okay, there's two franchises, isn't it? WWF and WWE.
I've gone for E because it didn't work with EastEnders,
F.
I've gone for that. And then we basically, imagine the whole of Albert Square, but just full of fucking wrestlers. I can't think of anything better than that.
No.
Do you know what I mean? American, UK,
live dead. The Queen Vic would be a fucking...
This is what I'm saying, but who's behind the bar?
It's got to be Macho Man Randy Savage, but with a blonde wig on, pretending Peggy.
Mate, you know what I mean? Mate.
Give it a bit of grief.
Macho Man, his wife.
Huh?
That'd be Savage's wife, wouldn't it, surely?
Yeah, what was her name?
No, I'm actually talking about Macho Man Randy Savage being the blonde, but you're talking about Elizabeth.
Elizabeth Hulk Hogan had a big row.
When they say, who is he? You say, no, I'm Macho Man Mandy Savage.
Oh, man,
I'm
Mandy.
That's his wife, blonde Savage. Yeah, so she's beyond the bar.
Yeah, serving up pints.
Yeah, you've had too much to drink. You're going down a chippy. He's working in the chippy.
British Bulldog.
Oh, they're both in there, mate. And they've got a rhythm going.
That's a mean chippy, isn't it? You wouldn't fucking mess. Yeah. You wouldn't say if your chips weren't brown enough in that chippy.
But if you went back to one of those guys and went, look, this cod is a bit cold.
You wouldn't.
Do you reckon they'd kick off or do you reckon they'd go, do you know what, mate? Thanks for your honesty. Here's a hot bit of cod.
I think they'd be decent. I think they'd be decent blokes.
Straight fucking
I think it'd be explicitly racist how they judge whether or not they're going to give you it for free or not. Yeah.
Are you going for the extra tag team British Bulldogs or just one of them?
The British Bulldogs were
our only single career. Just shows you, obviously, what life I had when I was in my 20s to know anything about wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were going to say teams, not 20s.
In my 30s.
I started off at my teens and just carried on over.
Filthy 40s.
I said to my wife, look at this.
She left him.
What's a wife?
So who's it? So you've obviously got one on the till, one fry on the fryer.
Yeah, which one would it be? Dogs. Again, we don't know which ones they were. Yeah. To be fair, yeah, Davey Boy Smith. I think he was one of the
Davey Boy Smith. He's on the till, mate.
Yeah,
who's running Pete Bill's fruit and veg stand?
Ooh. Big Daddy.
Yeah, do you know what I was going to say, nice. Big Daddy?
Yeah.
No, Big Daddy's fruit in the market.
And he's made a comical hat out of all the veggies on there. Like,
he's just one as well, isn't
he? And when the kids come over, he has a little overshade that he posts over his nose.
Because Big Daddy had a bald head, he'd have a string of bananas on there, pretend he's got yellow hair, like fucking Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, it's
like,
combing it over.
Definitely.
A little bit of aubergine nose.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, Big Daddy works, actually.
I really have fucked up tonight. I got bought for Christmas by a filmmaker, Aaron Shrimpton. We went for a game of tennis over at David Lloyd's. Aaron's choice of beverage to play tennis with was interesting. And then he whipped out his Christmas present for me, and he got me an Ian Beale hugging Phil Mitchell T-shirt, and Ian Beale was crying his eyes out on it.
Oh, that scene's genius, isn't it?
I've got nothing left.
I've got nothing left. And when I opened that, Molly was like, what is that piece of shit? She was like, why would he buy you that? And I was in tears. It's just,
here's a weird story, right? We got in contact with Ian Beale the other day.
Tell the story properly. From our last podcast, we came up with the best genius idea for another promo video, which would be, let's go to Cameo and get Ian Beale.
So we went to Cameo to get Ian Beale or Adam Woodjat, whatever his name is, to do a video for us. Anyway, the price was going up. Do you want it in HD? You know, do you want Ian?
We had great writing for what he was going to say as well, didn't we?
I just basically put down there, stop contacting me and all this kind of shit. Put it through. Ian Beale went, no, he's not interested. He considered it a promo for your podcast. Basically wants more money, right?
Oh, he didn't tell me that bit.
Yeah, and guess what? They've not given me my 120 quid back.
Have they not?
They've taken off my card. They've not given. So now I've got to get in touch with fucking Mimo, whatever they're called. Get my fucking cash back. And I ain't giving Woodjet any more money. Then I'm not giving him any more 120, mate.
Do you know, I used to go to school, and one of my mates at school, that was his uncle.
Do you know?
So I still no. I haven't spoken to the guy.
Well,
so just
get in touch with you.
Get in touch with you. That'd be his nephew.
Yeah,
That's how family trees work. Just
I need to go on because you know I love all my camper van shit. I need to find him on one of them forums. He lives in a camper van, doesn't he, Ian Bill?
Yeah.
Ian Bill or in the show or Adam?
Adam would
actually come standing down 120 quid for a fucking promo.
Unbelievable. No, like his house for like 6 months.
And we weren't supposed to say that much bad, was we? Really? You know what I mean?
There was some bad shit in it.
Fair enough. Not fingering his wife and all that stuff, but genuinely the overall vibe.
Well, that's why he's in a camper van, because his wife left him.
That's why she left him. She had to say what podcast fucking finger blasted her.
Do you know he hasn't even got a toilet for space? He takes a shit in the sink and he comes out the exhaust pipe.
Takes a shit in a pot noodle fucking box and just flies up.
He puts a bag for life like over two prongs, like two rod rests. Yeah. So the shit just lands in it and he just recycles it, mate.
I thought we had the back of a catcher's mitt. Recycling.
Yeah, no, only if he's doing one of his workouts.
Right, have we got any more wrestlers for his EastEnders?
Who's running the laundrette?
Oh, jeez.
Haystacks?
Oh, we're getting old school, aren't we, now?
Yeah, we are getting,
We're not even touched the WWE. I guess you've done a British Bulldog.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the Million Dollar Man.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
He won't be running a laundry out, though, would he, to be fair?
He called
he'd
start.
He'd be Ian Bill.
Oh, hang on. Was Steve Austin in...
No, there was a million...
No, there was Stone Cold.
There was a Million
Stone
Dollar...
Stone Cold, yeah.
And what was his name? Ted DiBiase.
He was a Million Dollar Man. Million Dollar Man.
He'd be Ian Bill. But Steve Cole, Steve Austin would be perfect fill.
Because I was thinking of Steve Austin, who was the $6 Million Man.
Yeah, no.
Down his luck.
He was like Pat Butcher if he made a moustache out of mascara. Do you know what I mean?
No,
who doesn't?
No. I'm still trying.
I don't feel like this pitch is going
great.
No,
it's not as good as my bottles, actually.
Eubanks pitch is really well. But
I think, I don't know. I think there's something to it. Like you can get to like, you know, can you imagine?
You're just trying to save my feelings.
Imagine, right, that scene where Trevor and Little Mo in Christmas scene.
Yeah.
And he fucking knocks the dinner onto the table and she's having her little meltdown and she's all like shaking because of the
trauma.
Yeah, the trauma. Me do, Mo.
And then he pours the gravy on the carpet and goes, yeah.
God. Suck that.
Then having like basically Hogan coming in.
Yeah.
And fucking doing, you know, I was going to say the people's elbow, but I don't even think that's his wrestling
move.
No,
that was a 5-star frog splash.
Say that,
Alice. Of course, Hogan's 5-star frog splash. I love it.
Someone had a move called a 5-star frog splash. Yeah, that's not easy to say either.
But whilst I can see it, mate, you didn't pitch it well.
No, he didn't.
That's the problem.
No,
you went into Dragon's Den with a stiffy.
Yeah,
and you didn't. You couldn't.
Bite. It was a rush of blood, not a program idea.
You had a good name, but no sort of
you got excited, mate.
Yeah, I got pissed. I thought that's a fucking great idea, and then I realised actually now I'm sitting here pitching. I feel embarrassed.
Yeah,
as you should.
Shit,
but he's pitching a tent.
He mentioned his Ian Bill T-shirt. Can you remember when me, you, and Lady P went to Pitsy Market one day, at work, and you see that Mitchell Brothers T-shirt, and you was like, I want that.
Oh, mate.
And she went, you're not having that. And you didn't have any cash on you, and she was refusing to let you
know
buy
what that
it.
Was? That actually wasn't that.
Was
that
it?
No, that was a full 3D print of two Dobermans.
Oh, that's right.
How can you get two stories so wrong?
It was insane. And you was like, look at that. I was like, fucking hell, that's great. And Antonia's like, you ain't having that. And she got really angry about it, didn't she? And she was like, you're not having that. And like, and he was like, oh, it's fucking 20 quid, let alone. Anyway, the minute you all ran around, I gave you the money to buy it, didn't she? She was really upset with me.
What was brilliant about that is I walked up with a Dober t-shirt and went, oh, fucking enough of you, blah, blah, blah. And then when I turned and walked away, because I was upset, there was a fucking Doberman on the back as well. It was 360 Doberman. I just didn't realise it at the time. It was such good value. Double print, mate.
You're not cheap,
triple,
mate.
Triple Doberman.
Yeah.
Front and back t-shirt print. Yeah, it's amazing.
Market, ladies and gentlemen.
It's great down there, mate.
Tone, what you got, brother?
What, we pitching? Is that one done?
We're bidding it off, mate.
Sorry,
it's going to be us. You can't say no input. All right, let's do it anyway.
Another TV show.
You're the judges now, aren't you?
Yeah, they've fucked it off, mate.
Yeah.
Were you not listening?
We've got to work harder.
What do you mean, wait? I've got one already on the Netflix fucking drawing board, mate.
Yeah, but I'm fucking sponging off your ideas.
Don't be on my coattails like you are with your fucking Say What podcast, you prick. It's ridiculous. Right, there's another one again, another premise for a show, which I think is pretty good, actually. But on YouTube, I don't know if anyone's seen it, but it's like it's called Mudlarking. Yeah, people go along the riverbanks of London.
Right.
And when the tide's gone out, obviously, and then you literally dig up old shit that's been washed up on the thing, and the amount of clay pipes and old fucking rings and fucking Thames stuff like that. But I thought, do that, but make it now fucking worthwhile for TV. But do it for Alison Hammond.
Right. She made the show better.
But she brings a bit of edge, because anyone that's walked on fucking muddy fucking bank shores, there's some soft sand there, isn't there? Every episode you're thinking, is she going to get stuck and fucking drowned?
Yeah.
That's the sort of the premise.
The tide's coming in.
Yeah, the tide's coming in. She's looking for
Hammond's
fucking...
in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. But she's in a little bit of bother here, and you're thinking, is she going to pull her foot out of that welly or just fucking stay there and be dead or whatever? But Mudlarking with Alison Hammond. It's edgy.
Yeah. The thing about Hammond, I don't think you can actually kill her. That's the problem. I think, you know, you try and suffocate her, she can hold her breath for, 16, 17 minutes?
Yeah.
And if she can hold it, if the tide comes in and comes out, you know she's...
Like she'll be all right. She'll be all right for that period of time.
Yeah, exactly. She's blown a really big bubble that she's pulled over head like a Hubba Bubba, like one of those deep sea divers.
It's like when they found that whale in the Thames or whatever, and everyone was freaking out about a bottle of those fucking dolphin and being caught in the Thames or whatever, and it died, bless it, so...
You shot it, you cunt.
There you go. Pass it out, try to catch it.
He always carries a blowpipe with him.
So, Tony, there's no part of this where they're really looking for clay pipe. Because that part,
on YouTube, mate, you Google it now. You go on YouTube. Yeah. You see these people going along the banks of the Thames. And because like the tide is in and out, it discovers new sort of things stuff that's been buried. Yeah, and
Have you gone down a rabbit hole watching magnet fishing?
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah.
Magnet fishing may pull up guns, don't they?
Magnet fishing. Bikes. It's fucking brilliant.
If you look in the bottom of my wardrobe now, you'll find 3 pairs of Gucci's and 2 magnets.
Yeah.
That's a great name for an album.
I'm telling you won't, Tony, every time I go fishing, I take a giant magnet with me. I've never caught
it. He wears it around his neck like a fucking big fucking chain, like a fucking
beastie boy.
I caught a crab with an earring once. That was the only bit I caught. But other than that, I've caught no metallic crustaceans.
No.
Or mollusks.
No, I looked up their magnets on Amazon. I've got right fucking involved.
No, mate, I've got two. I'm not even joking. I've got two upstairs.
But if you said to me, what do I watch on YouTube?
Do you want a free magnet?
Yeah.
I'll go get it. Right. Can you guys chat between yourselves? Because I've got a magnet for you.
Maybe it waits after the podcast.
Are we still recording?
We can do a part. We can do a part time.
I'm sure I've got a magnet upstairs. You want me to go and get it? You can have it.
Oh, I'll have one magnet and a pair of Gucci's.
Yeah. I mean, don't have to get it now, just unless you really, really want it.
I really want to get it.
Go on then, mate. Yeah, go on. We'll hold the
phone. He said the same to me last week, so I've got a giant maggot up in the bedroom. I have to follow up as well, but just got fucking...
Have you had a little look at magnet fishing?
Oh, it's not for me.
I fucking love it.
It's not for me. It bores me.
Where do you watch it? On YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah, so with them weird shitty programs, you just go down a rabbit hole, you want to see what they're pulling out.
I'll get so excited.
Yeah.
Some of them pull out fucking bayonets and shit like that. I'm like, fucking hell, I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
And like where I live, you go down to Tilby or Grays over that sea wall, fucking hell, you pull out all sorts of fucking shit.
Bodies, probably.
Well, that's what I mean. Going back to that mudlarking, that's what you do. You go down there and you uncover like fucking coins back from like the 1500s and all that stuff, which is fascinating. Guns and all that. So,
I've got to say, I love Detectorists. And as soon as I watched that show,
Do you know what? I rewatched it last week.
That's brilliant.
Fucking gold, that is.
And I nearly put it on myself.
And I bet fucking metal detector sales went through the fucking roof when that show came out. Yeah. Like,
well, one of my mates has got a farm, hasn't he? And one of our other friends has got into it. And he was like, Chris, do you reckon Nick let me on the farm? And then I asked Nick, he went, mate, we are getting fucking harassed.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, that's what puts me off doing it, because I'd love to have a metal detector, but if you get one, then you'll be so disappointed when you can't go there to use it.
My mum bought one in the 80s, and I remember she got it. My dad got it for Christmas in fucking, about 1983, and straight out of Tandy, and like, I remember thinking, fucking hell, this is a bollocks, and going down the seawall, like down Colas Fort, and just bombing around, like, literally just finding Coke cans. It was like, it was so underwhelming.
5p coin, thanks,
like,
mate.
I just thought, at that age, I was about 10, I was like, I'm going to find treasure.
Yeah, of course you are. It's like, Goonies, you're going to find, like, Fat Willy's treasure, One-Eyed Willy's treasure. Yeah.
Like, and I remember, like, on that seawall, you could get a ferry over at Gravesend. And I remember my granddad said, come and go on the boat. And he was a sailor. And so I was like, this would be fucking brilliant.
Man, that's amazing.
My granddad's taking me on this ferry. And I went down below and it had portholes. And in my head, I thought we was underwater. I remember looking at
10,000 leagues under sea.
Thinking I was going to fucking see Captain Nemo fucking see loads of fucking fish and sharks. And I was like, oh no, I can just see like the other boats on fucking Gravesend. Weren't the prettiest of sights.
Those boats all smell weird, don't they? My cousins, they were proper geezers from Clacton. Still are, they're not dead. And they used to take us out on their speedboats that they'd sort of, they were proper like the fucking primal, like there's Bullseye that we all love.
Yeah.
And then there's Bullseye fans who have probably put their names forward to go on it. And that's my cousins. And yeah, they used to get speedboats. I've been on loads, just like these little tiny little speedboats up and down Clacton in the water.
I just realised it's in the loft. I couldn't find it. I couldn't find the magnet. But I've definitely got two spare ones.
Don't believe you now,
mate.
Well,
the Gucci shoes in there, though.
Yeah, I found the string. Yeah, say that. Yeah. Actually, that's
to get you started, Stu.
If you look at the end there, look. It's got a little, see the little magnet hook?
Oh, yeah.
Turn
back there.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, pretty pointless about the fucking magnet,
though,
isn't it?
So there's some string.
In a couple of weeks...
You don't wear your own magnet, you tyco.
In a couple of weeks, you'll figure out how to use that. Then just
no, I've definitely got it. I've just come to Emma to find it.
Yeah, he doesn't want to give it away, clearly.
Chris Eubank would be disappointed, mate. Yeah. If he knew my fucking magnet was up in the cupboard, he'd have had some fun with it.
Well, we'd be looking for bums, though, to be fair.
Did you ever find anything when you was a kid? Like, find something that was like, apart from Forest Pond?
Yeah.
I was only looking for bombs. I could walk past anything.
I found a fucking photograph.
Right? Oh, yes.
Fucking hell. Honestly, I remember like walking out. I was walking out from college and I walked past the pub and there was a little grass verge outside it and I see a little Instamatic photo of a fucking woman with her knockers out.
That's wild.
And now you just think, fucking hell.
What's my up to?
Like, that's literally, was, like, that's the hottest
like
thing.
Like, she looked like...
What's the equivalent to kids these days? Because they're not Snapchat. Looking outside, is it? Yeah, no, they've got like some one of their mates has shared. Oh yeah, I've got the password for MILF.com.
Someone said to one of their kids, "Oh, I've got this porn up," and they go, "Yeah."
They go, "That is so like seeing that woman with her tits out."
I had a Carp magazine, and in the back of it, in black and white, was a woman with her tits out. And I'll tell you what. That kept me going.
I spotted the old motorbike magazines as well, because you're always up the Hell's Angels or whatever with their sexy-looking birds in there with the tits out.
They were
out.
Blokes, you cunt.
They did not... The beers might have been a giveaway, but anyway.
I used to go to the library and make out I was in photography just to look at the photography books. There'd always be some nudies in there. That was fucking gold, that was.
This was last week, wasn't it? You were photography.
Yeah. Wi-Fi was down.
We have digressed massively.
Oh, massively.
Away from the
sidetrack twins, mate.
Are we getting a deal?
No, I'm not feeling it.
I don't know. Why?
I struggle with Alison Hammond the best of times.
I love Alison Hammond. I love it. I'm all right at home.
Bubbly personality.
I think it's because Molly loves Alison Hammond so much. She watches. She follows this Instagram account called Lover Huns.
And, I liked her on Great British Bake Off. I thought she actually done that justice. Because after, what's his face, F. Lucas, I was thinking no one's going to replace him. Hammond had come along, done a good job.
Alison Hammond's on Bake Off.
Yeah.
She
went down after Big Brother, simple as that.
But no, if you get Alison on board, you can bring it back. Fine. But until I know she's definitely on board, you haven't. They find clay pipes, and I was just like, fucking Amita. The minute someone pulls a clay pipe out of a bit of mud, unless it's not the adult channel.
If I pulled a 300-year clay pipe out of my fucking arsehole now, you'd be impressed by it. Yeah. You'd be blazing up on that motherfucker, I tell you.
I'll buy a Polaroid.
What would have been the best thing to find as a kid? You know, Dean, didn't you? They found a fucking mine in his garden.
That's the worst thing to find.
The best, is it?
Yeah, what, a mine?
All right, found a good mine.
Is this Dean, who's in a wheelchair? Wheelchair Dean?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's that circle. Why are you looking at me like that? Because he stepped on a mine. Fuck you.
I've always said mime. I thought they dug up like a fucking person in Britain.
Just
got a fucking miming.
She's going, what colour's the wheelchair?
I can tell you the most exciting thing I found when I was a kid, and this is mental. So there's a woods next to my house, and we used to play in it all the time. And I remember going in and seeing a black bag, and I thought, that wasn't there yesterday. When I put this black bag up, and someone had robbed a fruit machine... Over from one of the local pubs and dropped all the 2 and 5p's in it.
Wow.
And my mate, there was a lot of people playing on the field. I told them, they bullied me and I've got none of it. I've got a 72p and I used it to buy one of those translucent blue guns that you could use the suckers out of that were orange. That was it. 72p, man.
Oh, man.
Fuck. Apparently, the whole thing was worth about 17 quid.
I found a wallet in a telephone box once. Went to find my mum to pick me up. And on the top was a wallet. I was like, fucking opened it. 25 quid in there.
Fuck off.
Yeah, it was like a 15-year-old. Mate. I was like,
what? I bet you went and got a McDonald's. Yeah.
And then the ID was my mate. And I got, he'd obviously, he'd literally gone in the fucking phone box before me, made a call, left his wallet up, and I was like, fuck,
I would not have told him, fuck him.
Yeah, I've got to give him that wallet back. No, I was way too...
I'd use his ID to fucking, like, literally make a second life as well.
I had a really fucking weird thing happened to me, right, where me and Cump were walking into Grays when we used to go to Grays Town Centre every Saturday, right, and we was walking down one of these roads, and the phone in the phone box rang.
It's like a fucking Matrix.
That's like a fucking dog in the playground. It's like, fucking hell. So he answered it, and this fella was just going like, "You all right, boys?" And we're like, "Yeah, like fucking hell, he's brilliant." And then he was like, "Oh, I like what you're wearing." And like, and then all of a sudden, we started to think, "This is weird."
Put some clothes on. <again. laughs>
I stopped sucking off cum. But I was like, fucking hell, we shit out of it. And we went to the police station.
Oh, fucking hell.
You fucking grasses.
Stitches get
stitches. And apparently there'd been a spate of them, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, we walked home.
What, a spate of people saying, what are you wearing, mate?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
There's only one, at the time, there's only one phone box in
Grays. There weren't mobile phones back in those days, so where's the person calling from?
Well, he was obviously watching from one of the houses.
Yeah.
It's like an episode of Midsummer Murders. Mate.
So I'll tell you what, pitch this.
I'm involved now.
And what would it be called?
Pedos
in the park. Pedo in the park.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's a fashion person. He's just asking what clothing you're wearing. He might fucking want to give advice.
There's a lot of evidence to suggest that pedos invented the drone.
Anyway, right, this gets fucking more sinister, right? So we fucking leave the cop shop and walk home. Yeah. And then there was like a little bus lane in between my ass and cunt's ass. Yeah. And this geezer had followed us.
Oh, man.
And as we're walking through the bus lane, we see a geezer on his knees in the tall grass, knocking one out.
Oh, nice.
Here we go.
I was like,
this story's been so boring up until now.
Did he break eye contact with you?
And like, I remember like...
It went first.
We both run, and I fucking run home. I remember knocking on the door. My old man used to do the clay pigeon shooting.
Your dad ran in.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
He came out of the tree.
He was wanking in the field, apparently.
I remember going, Dad, get your gun. And he was like, what? And I went, there's a geezer over there with his willy out, playing with it, looking at us. And I think my mum said, did you talk to him? I was like, no. She went, no way about it then.
That's Eric.
Yeah, true safeguarding.
He's just a pedo, he's all right. Just don't talk to him.
Just don't go there.
And it was literally like, we'd done something wrong.
You wouldn't walk into a pond, would you?
No.
That's Derek the cheese.
He's all right.
He's harmless. If you keep your distance.
I 100% guarantee that cunt's hard drive's been in a polythene bag as he's been front marched out his ass these days.
It's in one of those crates in Indiana Jones.
Do you know what they call that, mate? Vintage.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They dig that in 100 years now. Do you know what? They've got something here.
They were onto something. Pedo Park.
Yeah.
Pedo Park.
Well, yeah, and you knock on everyone's house and you try and figure out, like, you know, how they can be looking, and then you've got to go and interview. Yeah. Everyone in the house, without raising too many suspicions,
he might have kids.
That there's a raging pedo in the place, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a little game in the 80s thing called where we approach 80s hard men. And if we knock on their door, we want to know, if the police knock on their door, what they're arresting them for. It's called Hard Man on Hard Drive. And it's what we think they're going to get arrested for, being a hard man. Or contents of their hard drive.
Dodgy stuff.
Right.
There.
So where are we at? I'm out on Hallison.
No,
I didn't sell it properly.
To be honest with you, I was embarrassed.
It was better than your bloody WW fucking EastEnders or whatever it was.
WW EastEnders,
mate. EastEnders.
Yeah.
Great title, mate.
Well, that was all we had to be honest.
Go on and beat Alison Hammond then, just go.
I've got loads of ideas in, mate. They're all quite rude, though. You ready?
Come on in. Yep. Fire them out.
I don't know, this is quite normal, I like this one. This one's called Peeping Tom.
That's the name we need for our game show.
With Peeping Tom with Bill Oddie. So basically, Bilby's gone rogue, right? And the whole point of the game is, it's not a game show. Yeah. It's, you know how Big Brother sort of spies on people throughout the year? Throughout the programme and when they're asleep and all this kind of shit. Well, what we're trying to do is find, Bill Oddie's trying to find a council estate family.
Yeah.
Who haven't kind of full curtains. Yeah. Oddie's up the oak tree, mate. Oddie's up the oak tree. He's got some fucking 750 by 550 binoculars.
Yeah, he's tuned in.
He's straight in. He's gone. Yeah. And what he will do is, he will catch them having sex, making tea.
That's exactly where I was going in my head.
Yeah, and that is it, basically.
Can he put the night vision videos in there? Like you'd have in
too, mate. He's got having a bed.
He could be studying. That's it. He could be studying them.
So basically, you follow Bill Oddie and you get volunteers and you go around the whole estate and you see if you can find basically people having sex through a window and study them throughout the year and say, it's got better, it's got worse. You know, is there a problem?
Yeah. When did Pete and Tom's become voyeurs?
When did you become acceptable? When you get caught.
Always a voyeur.
Can't do it properly nowadays. Got to use the internet.
You can't kink shame a voyeur, but Tom.
Yeah.
It's really hard with a peeping Tom, like, it's not really funny. He's only having a quick wank, isn't he?
It's probably if you don't know.
Well, a peeping Tom. I think that's the thing. I think they want a peep, but they don't want eye contact.
Oh. Do you think it was kickstarted by a Tom?
Have you ever had a wank
Tom
in the strong wind?
Copyrighted it.
That's a messy business.
I'm just trying to think. You know, if you was as a peeping Tom. Would you welcome the wind? Because if you was having a wank and it just sort of basically blew off into the distance,
everyone's
dropped
gone.
Down on it.
Yeah, like a cloud.
Imagine if it blew off onto your
target. The police would never find it. They only go 5 or 4 ounces down, sir.
Have we got a deal?
Just had told me within about 3 seconds I was throwing cash at you.
They study Z-list celebrities.
I also think that there should be a little add-on to this.
Right.
That if he gets caught on a Ring doorbell,
game over.
Yeah. No, do you know what?
That kind of night vision startled Bill Oddie.
Yep.
Like your Ring doorbell's just caught him behind a plant pot with his fucking binoculars.
Well, security lights go off as well.
Yeah.
Straight away
giveaway. One of my greatest ever achievements was there was a fox
having a wink in the dark.
There was a fox that keeps appearing on my Ring doorbell, and years ago I thought I read this, and. Excuse me. I basically got a fishing rod, right? I rolled under a Ford Fiesta. You love this. The fox come down, he was trying to rip our flowers up, and I rolled out underneath his Ford Fiesta and just tail whipped that gun.
Your fishing rod?
Yeah. I caught him in the end, he's 12 foot.
He's got a great aim.
Justin is intentionally trying to get us, so like, we'll have to cut that bit. No, mate.
I'd like to whip a fox with a roach pole.
Who would?
If I've got my choice.
Their shit stink.
Reek, mate. Do you know why?
Your fox shit story is one of the most unpleasant things I've ever
heard.
Foxes. I'm not a fan, mate. Not a fan.
Yeah. No. I combed all their shit through my hair once. Like something about Mary.
Oh.
Yeah.
How?
Just because I was bored, peeping Tom.
It was a quiet weekend.
I was looking after. Long story short,
I can't say like combing Colgate or something in the bathroom through your hair.
I walked a sausage dog once for rubbing fox shit on its face.
Well done, mate.
Exactly, mate. No, I was having a fight with a dog. I got it all in the air.
Fox got involved.
Yeah, exactly. Shit in my face.
Yeah.
You went into the vets and they flagged it, didn't
they?
Yeah,
they flagged it. There was about 30 people in there and I just walked in going, help my dog, it's bleeding everywhere. And they took the dog off me and then someone went, do you want to go in the washroom, mate? And I was like,
mate,
yeah, maybe. I'll wash my hands because, you know, I've got blood on them. And then I went in there, I had literally a rainbow of shit coming from my hair.
Now, you say fox's shit, but was it your own shit? Come on, be honest.
Bill Oddie's.
So what are we saying? Oddie
in, mate. Am I too keen here? Because he's going to...
You're involved in this.
He's going to bend us over the price issue.
Well, my decision is made by this story, right? So I met Bill Oddie once.
Okay.
So back in the mid-90s, my band was playing the Rock Garden in Covent Garden. And we done our little sound check and we was like milling around afterwards. And I had a megaphone that I used to take on stage with me.
How big was it?
Quite a voice.
It was standard size.
This this phone. How big was it?
Phone. Megaphone.
Sorry.
Worst joke.
Sorry. Oh, sorry, that was so Christmas.
Oh, you funny guy.
Oh, sorry, mate. I laughed so much at that. I shouldn't have done. Back in the game, mate. Back in the game, bro.
But I got overexcited because I see Bill Oddie.
Yeah.
So I got the megaphone and shouted at him, Bill Oddie.
Yeah.
And he just started running.
And to you or away from you?
Away.
Is this a sex dream or?
And so Will started chasing him through Covent Garden.
Oddie and the megaphone.
And then we caught up with him and I was like, Bill Oddie. And he just went, fuck off. Just like, oh, fucking hell. Just got told to fuck off by one of the goodies. It was horrible.
And you got chased by him as well.
Yeah.
That's fucking amazing. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Did he go down or is he?
No, they're not looking.
You're thinking of Ralph Harris, mate.
Yeah.
No.
Again, 80s beard-based celebrity.
No Edmonds.
Yeah. Well, never proven, but...
Always rumoured.
Had a little look at him, didn't they? Definitely felt his collar.
Yeah, they were interested at one point, for sure. But,
yeah. DLT, had a look at him.
Yeah, yeah. No way is David Lee Travis. If he wants to touch a bird's pair of tits in the 80s and go, nice one, babes, that is just... That's radio magic.
That's professionalism.
Yeah. But not...
Yeah.
Not now.
Yeah. I think like the way that people view radio magic now is a little bit different. I'm not on board with Bill Oddie. Like,
you're not?
No, he's a cunt.
Oh, fucking hell. Right,
we're swapping him. We're getting a representer, mate. Yeah. Someone else to do it.
Right, basically, yeah, yeah.
Who's preventing Peeping Tom?
Who's that geezer? Really Wild Show.
Terry
Nutters or the other one, Chris with the fucking crop blonde hair. Either
like
of them.
Him.
I knew you wouldn't. But Nutters, you would.
I know Chris Alison Packham. Hammond's available if you guys want.
She's been recently disappointed.
Yeah, funny. The thought of Nutkins creeping around someone's garden, I'm in for that.
Yeah. Well, we actually had two other names for these. Yeah. It was called Peeping Tom, but the other two names I written down was Turner and Cooch.
Yeah.
that is where Anthea Turner goes around trying to look at minges in binoculars. Yeah.
But with cherry help.
And, that one was just country.
Well, Earth Annie don't work, does it?
Oh, Turner's?
Yeah.
No way.
So... It's common knowledge that... Do you not remember?
No.
Pyrotechnic blew off her fuck flaps. She sat on the back of her...
Oh, no, don't hit me.
What the
and
fuck?
Like, she sat on a pyrotechnic and it blew off her fuck
did
flaps.
Did not give her a
she's
design
got no
of vagina.
Feeling down there anymore. It's literally just a smooth... Like, there's nothing there.
Is it like a Barbie mound?
Yeah. Yeah.
Her arsehole and a V-hole meat.
Yeah.
Quite
melted together.
A lot closer than you think they would. Hey,
Jesus Christ. Yeah, it'll melt, won't it?
You put a drop... You put a drumstick in one, it will come out the other.
Skinless.
No, like I'm not talking about the sweets. I'm talking about an actual
fried
drumstick. Like, yeah, an actual drum if you're a drummer.
Oh, sorry.
Pine one.
Mm. Oh,
Tom, what you got?
I have no idea.
Right, so what are we going to do with this one?
If Nutkins is in, I'm in.
Okay, all right, cool.
So Nutkins has pushed out Oddie.
I want Oddie on backup.
Mm. Fair play.
Because if on the first day... shooting and we've got a counselor state gangbang about to start and he's not showing up, I'll get Bill Oddie in. Can't miss that stuff.
What's he wearing? Like kind of like green, like kind of like
camo,
like body warmer, like bit of camo trousers.
Well, if he's peeping, he needs to be dressed in dark as well.
Binoculars.
He's dressed fully in wool, but the knots ain't tight enough so you can see pretty much everything.
He's dressed like a Buxus plant, basically, I think. You know what I mean? Just to peep properly.
Yeah.
Best camo ever.
Who's Pete?
Peeping.
Oh, Peeping Tom. Yeah, sorry.
Peeping Tell. Right.
Okay.
Where are we at now? Is this number two?
We're still at number one, mate.
Oh, is it number one? Is it? That's number three, isn't it?
Oh, I thought we were talking about part one.
No. Part one was like, right. We've done three now, haven't we?
Mm. All of mine are cut slightly.
Well, I got
this
one
is
go
number
for.
One. This is number one.
You've done three gay ones, haven't you?
I've done one gay one. I've got those saved up for later.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. I think it's my one. What was the last one?
Oh, sorry. No, that was you.
That was your one, you belly.
Oh, Peeping Tom.
Yeah,
sorry, mate.
Sorry, you go again. You're dying to go again.
I've got to go again then, actually, if you don't mind. Right, okay. So I've got a few written here. This one's called... I might leave that one. This one's called Match the Snatch. Right, so imagine...
So it's like the fucking last four or five you've just been discussing.
It's literally like...
Have you had a wank yet before you came up with these ideas? No, this is the problem, isn't it? Because they're all coming back to...
All these questions are raging hard.
But you've got 100 vaginas or snatches in a row.
Like guess who?
And by a process of elimination, your wife's one of them. So your wife's snatch is poking through the hole. It's one of those 100 holes, but 99 is not your... I've got 99... problems, yes. But her snatch ain't one, if that makes sense. So basically, that's
he's developing this pitch as he's going. I love it.
Very, very advanced Mr. and Mrs., isn't it?
Yeah. So you ask questions, mate, and he'll say something to you like, if you get this question right, you get to remove 5 snatches from the...
Right. Well, that's a general knowledge part. Because I figured he was just going to be going up to the snatches and,
At first, he eliminates 30 or 40%, but straight after that,
With blindfold.
Yeah, straight. Yes.
Blindfold, and goes past them.
No. What's that quiz show where you got that, the northern bloke, where the lights go off? It's like a dating game where he says something about himself or whatever. And do like that, where again, he gets his first round is he goes up to sniff. So then he can say, right, and he numbers them.
No, because you're going to write a bad one along that 100.
That's what you want. She's out.
You're going to get saint. You're going to go.
Studio lights are going to be hot.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, to be fair,
it'd be like smelling cells.
The bad one is going to affect the ones near it as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the one in the middle is going to affect the 2 or 3 on the side.
And one thing you don't want is a snatch that's been under a fucking spotlight for 15 minutes.
They do kick up, bless them.
Bless them.
I forgot to sweat myself. No, I'm all right. Let's go.
Have we got a deal?
Right, so where are we up to with this one?
I'm liking this one.
Yeah.
I think.
That's been the best pitch yet.
What was it?
We'll have a snatch watch. We'll get
a
sanitary product sponsors.
Yeah.
Femfresh, that sort of stuff. We'll be fucking rolling.
Yeah, and then what you do at the end of the series, you pick all the winning snatches, and then you play the side show is called Snatch of the Day.
Oh,
and you've got all the creme. You've got 11.
Cashbacks when they go back to the earlier episodes.
So you guys think that's why we're buying it? Stu's fucking... Yeah. We're making a killing off fucking... Yeah.
That'd go global.
Yeah, it would.
Oh, that would go massive, mate. Big time.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It'd be something nice to sit down on a Saturday night. You've got, you've been out, you've been on an heavy one on the Friday. Sit down, watch Match One Snatch.
There's no family TV anymore, is there? That'd be funny. That could replace like the 2 Ronnies or whatever. Perfect.
You smashed the ratings for the Christmas special.
Oh, big time.
Prime time.
Christmas bows on them.
Yeah. Might even make the
little bit of tinsel stuff.
Oh, he's hosted by Noel Edmonds, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... Stu's
okay with that.
Does he ever turn his head upside down and put it through?
It's a bit like what they call it, they've got the different boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
Deal or no deal.
Tony said it about four times.
There's an element of tension about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? The wrong ones glow red.
Do you reckon he liked a bit of smash? Do you reckon he was a gash hand?
Ooh, Edmonds.
Oh, beat on.
I reckon he'd probably more have it off of a Pomeranian than an actual female.
He is the son of a Pomeranian.
Yeah, he's got that vibe. Definitely. Yeah. Light hair.
23 and me, he's 3%.
Yeah. He's had. I think he was bald with highlights, wasn't he? Bald with a beard.
Yeah.
Edmund still looks exactly the same as he did 40 years ago. Yeah.
He's aged well, mate, I tell you.
Yeah.
How old's he now then? What, 70?
Yeah, easily.
God, I guarantee when he gives his kids Easter eggs, he just puts his little beard and fucking hair on the top of it. He goes, it's Daddy Edmund's Easter egg. Or it's Grandpa Edmund's.
Easter Eds.
Easter Eds, that's what they're called. No, Edmunds. Edmunds. I like that. He address an egg up.
Easter Edmunds, that's a great show.
Yeah. Is it creepy to see your own hair on an Easter egg and give it to a child?
I don't think so.
Just a personal touch, isn't it?
Yeah. I love how you've hidden the hair inside the actual...
No, that's the magic. Easter, mate. That is the magic. Yeah.
Just a ball. That's not a ship in a bottle. Question,
just a ball of your own pubes in the middle of it.
Yeah.
How did Granny get it in there?
I know. Clever man. He drilled a hole in the top,
poked
the pubes through, and at the top he got a Cadbury chocolate bun, just melted it over a burner.
You've actually got a method already.
Yeah.
You've actually got a method. Think about it, it's
quite a while. So a Dairy Milk button is a plaster for all other chocolate bars then, basically.
That works.
Well, it's weird because do you know if you get a flake and put it in a microwave, it doesn't melt, does it? Regardless of how long you leave it.
I haven't got around to that.
Fuck off.
It's on my list of things to do.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so if you get a...
Don't just go, cool.
No, he's lying.
Yeah, so if... no. Oh, you think I'm lying?
Yeah.
So... I'm in my pocket. Well, you've covered this before.
Well, a flake's got a foil wrapper as well. You wouldn't want a foil wrapper in a fucking microwave.
Basically, get a flake, take it out the wrapper, put it on a plate.
Yeah.
Stick that in the microwave for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
When you take it out, it will be no hotter than when you put it in.
No, you shouldn't say that.
It'd be no hotter than the sitting in the microwave.
It's still hot fresh.
Yeah.
No, it's cool to touch. It's cool to the touch.
You can still grate it over a trifle, basically.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Fuck off. So, yeah. So it doesn't matter how long you leave a flake in the microwave, it will not melt.
How many people go and test that method now, though?
Yeah, hopefully.
It's part of me wants to actually try it.
It's true.
Yeah.
I just don't know if it's true or not.
Is that what they're making space shuttles out of these days, then, just? You know, when so they're coming back into orbit. Yeah. You just cover them in flakes.
I'm surprised firemen ain't just
figured that out, yeah.
They are thinking about changing their helmets to jogging helmets.
Capri's making a killing again. Oh, fuck.
Fucking hell. Where are we?
I don't know. I think we're at number one. This is part one. Are we going to do another? We're going to do, obviously, another part, man. Right? And what are we going to do the other part on?
I think we should do top five fight scenes in films and telly.
Oh, I know.
Well, but hang on, I've got loads of good stuff about helmets here.
That's half our pitch.
I know that all of yours are going to be homoerotic, like fucking 3, 2, 1.
We mentioned that one.
Let's wait till the second half.
Ted Rogers sees everything he's upside someone.
That would be great.
3, 2, 1. 3, 2. Oh, yeah, she is. Move on to the next one. 3, 2, 1. Oh, fucking 3 up there. Lucy's her mother. We mentioned that, didn't we, Just? But we didn't really want to pitch it. A bit too crude for this hour.
Do you know what? I'm disappointed. The way how evening has gone, to be honest. God, this bacon frazzle was dry, bro.
You've done really well, mate. You've got at least, 2.5 shows in the bag. Yeah.
Well, we.
If you get Terry Nutkins, I think you got three out of five.
I've got some other stuff here, and I admit there is some gay stuff, right?
Okay. Yeah, do you want to carry on gathering with your questions?
You don't have to keep telling us it's gay. We will pick it up.
I've done Spouse Trap.
No, we'll do that later. This wasn't even funny down the pub when we were sober.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I'm struggling with this one.
Yeah, no, this one's terrible.
I'm struggling with our mate, to be honest.
It was your idea as well. Tom, what you got left?
Right, let's go.
Are we still going?
I'll tell you what, what are we going to do? We're going to have this one from Tony,
and then we'll end
it there, and then we'll do a part two, and we'll just do more pitches. Or we can switch it.
I ran out of Jack Daniels about 5 minutes ago, man.
This might be a long pitch, though, so I don't know if you want to.
I'm all ears.
Right. The name is called Sucker's Luck with Todd Carter, yeah?
Nice. Love
here
this.
We go. Nice. So it's basically, it's like, you know, going for gold.
Yeah.
Quiz show, blah, blah, blah. You've got three contestants. And, so you sort of compete in general knowledge questions, boom, boom, boom. Person gets the most points, then gets put in a wetsuit, yeah? In a tank with a octopus, and underneath the suckers, sort of the prize monies.
Oh,
nice.
So there we go. Sucker's luck.
I'm all over this.
And Todd Carty is him.
Oh, Stu, mate.
You lead on this one, mate.
Anything that involves fucking Mark Fowler, or Tucker Jenkins, I'm all over it.
Ratings are already there.
Big Papa Joe once in the office went in the toilet and come out wearing a brown leather jacket, and he put water on his hair and slicked it back. With a crash helmet under his arm, you come out and he looked exactly like fucking Mark Fowler. It was fucking incredible.
Pre or post diagnosis?
Full blown.
Another story of Big Papa J being seen as someone else. Me and him was in West Malin. Out of our fucking minds, walking through the high street. You know how he gels his hair back, all nice and slick. He had his black long coat on, and he had his collars up, and we was out of our fucking minds. But we was bowling through the high street, and some bloke went, "Fuck me, it's Count Dracula!" Because we were so fun, we just rolled up on the floor laughing.
I'm sure he said Count Dracula.
No, he said Count Dracula, you cunt.
Oh, yeah.
You had a fucking yellow cone that you picked up on the floor. You was walking around like a fucking bill with
your. Have we ever told you about when we went in? Me and him went up to London, and when we just started the business, and we went into Costa, to get a drink, and we ordered these two coffees.
Oh fuck me, I forgot about
it. When he went to pay, he went, "No, you're right, mate." And I was like,
"I reckon it's 17 quid worth of coffees."
Yeah, and he went, "Well, I think Antonio was there as well, wasn't she?" And he was like, "No, you're right." And then we was like, "What the fuck happened there?" And so we looked at it. I was like, "That's weird." So I went back in and I went, "Mate, why didn't you charge us for them coffees?" He went, "Mate, it's fucking Dean Gaffney."
I swear he's not making one bit out of me. I've got three.
They can't hear you, Just. You're not near a microphone.
That's fucking brilliant. Dean Gaffney, Count Duckula. Who's the other one?
Mark Fowler.
John McEnroe.
It's like a shapeshifter over there. Fuck me.
Big JD there, brother.
Yeah, I'm all over Sucker's Luck.
Yep.
Chris?
Yeah, man. That's
you're
that's
in.
Incredible.
Good round.
Wait, let's call time on this one.
Yep.
What a lovely way to finish it.
And it
it. It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.